It's time for your morning pep talk with Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Jenna Barr. Would love to hear from you this morning. It is a beautiful, chilly day. 850-437-1620 is the number to text or to call. Mike Wiggins is patiently awaiting your questions.
I am so patient over here. Yes.
You are very patient. You're waiting for me to stop talking.
No, I am not. No. You're right on. It is chilly.
Yeah, this is not your weather, I will say. Yeah. I know you, and I know that you like to have it in the upper 80s.
Oh, yeah, no lower than that, for sure, for sure. But I will tell you this, from a personal standpoint, Mary Ellen and I are dog-sitting this during the Thanksgiving holidays. Some of our kids have gone out of town, so we're keeping the dog. And
they're making you go outside in this.
I was just going to say, so at 5:30 this morning, I was out walking the dog. I said, it is freezing out here.
Yeah, it was dipping down pretty low. I could see a couple of my flowers like, please help.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly. We all have to worry about that. There's no doubt about it. You know, it's really funny. When I stepped out of there, I said, you know what? I'm going to take to the show today my favorite chart about when are we going to get a freeze. Obviously, we were only, I guess this morning, it felt like it was about zero, but it was only about 40 plus. So when are we going to hit 32 degrees? So our favorite chart, which we've used many times before on the Garden Line, says by November 28th, we only have a 30% chance of a freeze. December 5th, we have a 40% chance, and 50% on December the 10th, all the way in to the last week in December when it goes to 80% chance of going to 32 degrees in Pensacola. This is a nice handy-dandy chart, which quite frankly is never correct, but it's always fun to see what the experts say, no doubt about it. But it is obviously going to get colder, and we have to kind of adjust our gardening, obviously, our watering and our mowing and our planting and the things that we do plant. So it's a fun thing. It's one thing about Pensacola. We're not like Miami, where you have one season, and we're not like, you know, Minneapolis, which has one day that's above freezing during the year, I think. Sorry, I know that.
Yeah, I do not want to live there. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
It's a little chilly.
We're not jealous of them.
I'm exaggerating, but anyway, we do have seasons here, and from a gardening standpoint, that's fun. A lot of things we can do, and of course, a lot of things to do during the holidays. Before the show is over, I do have this neat little chart about the top 10 holiday plants. I do want to talk about that. But one thing I thought I'd start with, because it involves something I'm going to do, so many of us put lights on our shrubbery.
Yeah.
So these little blanket lights, mm-hmm. Put it on the shrubbery. And, I put white lights on my front shrubbery and multicolor in the back. In any event, that really is not that important. My point is, when I went out to kind of make some mental plans to do that, probably Thanksgiving weekend, I noticed that my Clara Japonica, that's the hedge on which I put my lights, just had some water shoots coming up. It was a little uneven. But then I remember our Garden Line advice is, it's getting too late to prune. We don't want to do that. Well, if you've got that same situation as I've got, it will not hurt to get your pruners and make a nice even cut along the top. Just cut off an inch or two, maybe. It's not that big a deal, but it will make that hedge even, so when you put your Christmas lights on there, you won't even have to think about any kind of pruning or anything you have to do over the next month or so. So that's exactly what I'm going to do, is to get out there and do that. I did have here, where was it? I wanted to show you this Dooryard Citrus article about pruning your citrus, which you don't want to do till spring anyway. But I thought it was really kind of interesting, because we have a lot of folks that grow citrus and are going to have to protect it when we get into that colder weather. But just remember that if you're going to prune your citrus, there are a couple things you need to do. You got to remove any of the branches that have been bent downward by heavy citrus crops. Some people do that, but we don't think that's necessary. They're going to bear just as well if those limbs are bending over. Now, if
I've seen a few.
That's right. But if they're on the ground, you really want to clip those off, because that allows to mow underneath the tree. It allows for fertilization and that type of thing. So that's what you want to do when you're pruning your citrus. But the big deal is citrus really doesn't have to be pruned that much ever. Maybe when it's young, you want to develop some strong scaffolding branches. But other than that, you really don't have to do it. But the point is, insofar as getting those crossing branches and diseased branches and all of that off, wait till spring to do that. Don't do it now. But you can do that little bit of pruning to get those Christmas lights on for Christmas.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them start to go up just this past weekend.
My goodness, I should say so.
Everyone's getting ready. I'm getting ready. We're starting to plant. I got rid of my mums. They reached their point of no return, and so we got rid of those and get in the pumpkins. And so anybody who is thinking about just chucking your pumpkins in the trash, maybe call somebody who has chickens or horses, has a farm, something like that, because they will be put to good use and they last a really long time. So I called around to a couple friends I know who have farms, and my kids, they ride horses. It's just a little bit of a drive. So yeah, like, here, you can have, and I maybe pumpkined it out a little bit too much this year. So we have plenty of snacks for all the animals.
Oh, that is so funny. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, you don't have to chuck them in the trash. Yeah. And, of course, you don't put them in the trash. You can put them in the yard waste pile, too,
right,
for the truck.
Yeah, some people do a compost pile. That would be a logical place to put it, no question about it. Jenna, insofar as our top 10 holiday plants, probably the number one, which we could probably spend the whole show on, and we will try not to do that, of course, the number one holiday plant is the Christmas tree.
Oh, I thought you were going to say poinsettia.
Well, that's number two.
Oh, okay.
That is number two. Number one is a Christmas tree. So I need to ask you, as we proceed with the show, when will you put up your Christmas tree?
If I left it up to my children, it would have been up the day after Halloween. But I want to do a real one this year, because I've been doing fake ones pretty much every year since we moved here, because I was always afraid they wouldn't last very long. We had one real one the first year we moved here, because I have never known fake Christmas trees my whole life. And then we got a real one a couple of years ago. Just, well, let's try it. And yeah, we just went back to having a fake one, which just doesn't feel right to me. Yeah. And so I think we'll end up doing it Black Friday.
I think so, too. I'm going to do mine probably this weekend.
Yeah. You know,
and because one thing about Christmas trees is there's chatter on the internet and on TV and radio about a shortage because of the heat we had last year, a little climate change, but also the supply chain problem. Delivery of trees. So there may be a shortage of trees. Now, I haven't talked to any of my buddies who are in the Christmas tree business, but that does kind of make sense in that.
Yeah, you're going to have to give us an in over there.
So you may have to go ahead and get it early.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay,
now,
so don't wait.
Don't wait. Okay, now here's the deal. What is the most favorite? Which tree is the favorite of most people in Pensacola? What type of tree?
Okay, let me think about it. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll tell them.
Is
that good?
Let's
All right. Hey, and you can text on in 850-437-1620.
I've got plenty to be thankful for. I haven't got a great big yacht to sail from shore to shore. Still, I've got plenty to be thankful for.
Yes, we do have plenty to be thankful for.
That's the truth. No doubt about
that. So blessed. And we are blessed by our amazing listeners right here on the Garden Line. That's right.
There is no doubt about that. And we're kind of blessed to have old Bing Crosby in the studio this morning.
Man, if we could just have him warming up his pipes over here all the time, that'd be great.
That's for sure. Yeah,
bring that guy back.
Okay, Jenna, we were talking about the Pensacola's favorite Christmas tree. To take the mystery away, I don't think there is any mystery.
Well, somebody texted in and guessed.
Fraser fir. That's what I think it would be.
Right. And
what did the listener say?
They said the same as me, Douglas fir.
Ooh, Douglas fir is nice. Fraser firs are, well, they smell really good. I think they hold their needles a little better than most. I think the trunk is a little straighter, easier to put into a stand. And they're a little more expensive. There's no doubt about that. But I think a Fraser fir is still, in my opinion, the best. There is another one, though, way back in the day, maybe 20 years ago, the favorite tree in Pensacola, Jenna, was a Scotch pine. Now, Scotch pines, as they get older, have a little bit of crooked trunk to them, and they have a huge base to the trunk. They were almost, impossible, but very hard to get into a Christmas tree stand. They would keep their needles relatively good, but they would dry out and get really, they would stick you. They really would.
Really?
Exactly.
And what was that one called?
Scotch pine. Mm. You don't see too many of those anymore, but if you're looking for one that's very affordable, that's it. And then the third one down my list is the Douglas fir. But let me tell you about a Douglas fir. Douglas fir, some people will say a Douglas fir is a little thinner, of course, than, say, a Fraser fir. I've heard it called a Charlie Brown tree.
Yes.
As a matter of fact.
That's why I think it's so cute.
But let me tell you a little story that's really neat. Douglas firs, you can get a taller Douglas fir if you need height for a lot cheaper than you could get a Fraser fir. But I had a friend one time that said, I don't want to have the Charlie Brown tree, but I've got a very, very high ceiling. So here's what they did. They took two Douglas firs and literally wove them together, kind of separated the branches, put the stalks, the trunks together, if you will, and wired that together. So they had a thick tree, a tall tree, an affordable tree, and it was really two Douglas firs. And once it was decorated and lit, you could never tell it was two trees wired together.
Well, look at that. That's a fun tip.
Oh, exactly. It was kind of interesting that, but it took a lot of time to get those branches and kind of weave them together. So that's the Douglas fir. Another one that a lot of people use that I really don't recommend because of the needle are on the blue spruce. You know, it's kind of a sticky tree too, but the blue spruce really will lose its needles very, very quickly. Some people tell me it'll lose its needles in the trunk of your car as you're taking it home. So blue spruce is another one. But here's one that if you really, really have a budget that will allow, the noble fir is just a beautiful, beautiful tree. It's kind of got scaffolding branches coming down, a nice color to it. It's not as thick as a Fraser, but it is a very, very beautiful, beautiful tree, no doubt about it.
How do you feel about when people flock their Christmas trees?
Well, two things I'll think about that. One, a lot of people like that snow look on a Christmas tree. They like it white, and I respect that. It looks really, really good. But you know the one thing that flocking a tree does? It fireproofs it. There's no doubt about it. Now, like in the city of Pensacola, and some of your city officials may want to call me and correct me, I'm kind of dealing in the past here. If you owned a business, you had to fireproof a live Christmas tree. Say you bought a Fraser fir or a Douglas fir, put it in your lobby of your business, it had to be fireproofed. So a lot of those folks would have their tree flocked to serve as fireproofing. Now, there were some clear sprays you could put on a Christmas tree, but flocking, just a lot of people swear by it. They love it because it just fits the decor in their house to have that white tree. What do you think about that?
I think it's magical. Honestly, if I could, I would have a Christmas tree in every room of my house. In fact, this year it's my goal. But The flocking is something just extra magical. It reminds me of the movie White Christmas.
Right. Looks like it has snow on
it. So I love it.
Exactly.
I just haven't done it yet. Oh, well, I had a fake one that was flocked, so it doesn't count. But I kind of want to try it this year. All the different colors. So I like the white one. When people do like blue and pink
and they start getting crazy.
No, thank you.
But one thing about flocking you have to be careful with it. Whoever you buy it from, whoever does the spraying of the flock on the tree, it needs to be done right. Just the right amount of water mixed with the flocking, which comes in a 50-pound bag. And it's got to be done right. Because if not, as Christmas gets closer, it starts getting dusty. It dries out on the tree and starts getting dusty. So it really needs to be done right. You need to talk to whoever's going to do it to tell them that's one of your concerns. And you need to be sure to mix the right amount of water with the flocking as you spray it on the tree. So just a hint.
Flocking is a good thing. It's pretty and it's pretty good.
And it's fireproof.
Yes.
It fireproofs the tree.
I love it. And you know what? It just adds a little touch of magic in your home. All right, we're going to take another quick break here. You're listening to The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. 850-437-1620 is the number to text or call. I have a really fun tip to share with you as you are getting ready to take out all your pumpkins after Thanksgiving. Yes, don't throw those in the trash. I have a very cool tip that we got from our friend Catherine, so stick around.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek.
We are in holiday heaven over here on the Garden Line.
It's Fred Astaire. My goodness, that goes back.
Listen, I told you I was going to start bringing out some really good ones today.
Bring it on.
If you have a favorite that you like to listen to on Thanksgiving, text it in, 850-437-1620. Lisa from Milton texted in a picture of her greenhouse, and it is beautiful. She said she thought it was about time to put the plants in the greenhouse this past Sunday. So smart move. Those plants look luscious and beautiful, and you want to keep them that way. So yeah, if you're thinking about moving your plants indoors, it's probably a good day to do so.
It really is. I've got some of those gorgeous crotons that I really would love to save. But the pot is so heavy, and even my grandchildren aren't strong enough to pick those pots up. They are huge. So I'm going to have to cover it and hope. It just all depends on the type of winter that we have. So we'll enjoy them while we can. The crotons have such a beautiful fall color to them that I hate to lose them. But every year I seem to say the same thing. I don't want to lose them, but I do. So we'll just look to spring and replant.
Look forward to the springtime, that's for sure. All right, we got to take a quick break here. We'll be back here on the Garden Line. Don't go anywhere.
This is John Appleyard for News Radio 1620.
You know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text in your pictures, your questions, your comments, 850-437-1620. We are having some fun over here. Listen, we have a question. You ready? Are we warmed up? I think we're warmed up after all of our Thanksgiving talk. Our friend Ray said, I recently bought some buttercup bulbs a few days ago. I put them in the fridge to cool off. Is it a good time to plant them now?
Yes, I would plant them. No big hurry. A lot of people will put their bulbs, tulips and hyacinths are the two that really need to go into the refrigerator. Otherwise, you can plant daffodils and on ranunculus and crocus and all those almost any time. I think December is a good time to plant. Yes. Keep in mind, if you're going to plant the bulbs like that, make you a bulb bed with a little bit of peat moss, a little bit of bone meal. Obviously, mix that in with the soil that's there. Level it out. Then whatever type of bulb you're planting, plant it 2.5 times the diameter. That's how deep you will plant it. A daffodil bulb, of course, is pretty big, so you're going to plant it much deeper than a crocus bulb, which is very tiny. So 2.5 times after you've made that bed, generally in the full sun is a better way to do it. I did tell you one time, Jenna, we talked about this. I always think it's a fun story about a guy that told me, he said, I wanted to plant some daffodil bulbs in a natural area. He said, I have a big pine straw area kind of off to the side on my side yard. And he said, I didn't know where to plant them, so I was going to make it really natural. He said, I got 2 or 3 double handfuls of daffodils, threw them over my shoulder, let them land in my natural area, and I planted them right there, right where they landed. And he said, and they looked great. I'm not
That's
sure.
That's one way to
I'd
do it.
I'd recommend that, but it was an interesting way to do it. But yes, I think in getting to December, it'd be a great time to plant them. Be sure you plant them at the right depth. A little bit of bone meal really does help. That's just a soil amendment that helps your bulbs grow. And good luck. I think you'll be fine. Keep in mind that if you do plant tulips, for example, that they're only going to be a one-year deal. A lot of your daffodils are good, especially that Carlton variety is a good one. But not all bulbs we plant in the fall that bloom in the spring are going to last year after year after year. Not very many at all, unfortunately, but that's the way it is.
But you know what? Then you get to play that fun game to see if you throw it and where it lands, you get to plant it. So why would you want to miss out on that every year?
I wouldn't recommend that in your front yard, but you know, do what you have to do.
It's kind of like a game of darts.
That's right.
Hey, our friend Phil would like to know. Okay, he says we have 3 25-foot tall crepe myrtles in front of our office. Can we go ahead and trim them back again now, or what is the protocol?
Well, you know what, Phil? I would wait just a little bit longer. Be sure it's all totally dormant. All the leaves are gone. January is a great time to do it. I generally do mine in February just because I have a young man that does it for me, then a guy I hire to do it because it's so high, I'm not going to get on that ladder. But yes, I think that's fine. But Phil, I know you know the rules. I know you know the protocols here about pruning crepe myrtles. You just don't want to whack them all the way back. Take off about 1/3 of the new growth, and that's about all you need to do. Some people, I think Phil's in a commercial area, if you want to just, you know, let them grow to the sky, you don't really have to prune them at all. But most of us do, and prune that new growth back about 1/3. They're going to bloom on new growth, that year's new growth. That's where you're going to get most of your color. So that's the best way to prune it. Don't take it all the way back to the way it was pruned last year, or all the way back to the nub, quite frankly. That's, of course, that phrase has been coined and used many a times. You just don't want to commit crepe murder.
Yeah, and it just looks terrible.
It looks horrible.
Those little, you know, pathetic
right
growth that comes in, it just is like,
well, what that does is I as an example, on 17th Avenue in East Hill, growing up, there was these people that had crepe myrtles, and they'd cut them back every year, all the way back to about 3 to 4 feet off the ground. And of course, it developed a huge knot right there, and every year they would live. They're going to live. It's hard to kill them. It sends up a bunch of little scraggly little limbs. They call that, in the trade, they call that the witch's broom. And so you don't want to do that, because even though you have new growth, you have to keep that. You just don't want to do it. It just looks horrible. Also, be careful about, you do need to cut off all the way to the base any growth coming out of the base of the crepe myrtle, because really crepe myrtles technically, it's not a tree, it's technically a shrub. That's why you always get that new growth coming from the bottom. Keep that totally clipped off all season long, so you have a trunk to it, and you can enjoy the nice looking color of a crepe myrtle trunk. I think it has a very nice look to it. So that's
oh,
what
absolutely.
I would do. So Phil, yeah, I no hurry. I would do it. You know, you could do it probably late December. Just be sure it's totally dormant, and then go ahead and do it. Probably January might be the best time.
All right. And if you have another question, 850-437-1620, here's one. As we are trimming our hedges and our trees, are there any trees we should not burn in our fire pit?
That is a great question, and I don't know if I have the answer to that.
Hmm.
I've never really thought about that. That's very, very interesting. I, you know what I would do? This is going to be kind of a reach.
Okay.
As you drive around town, stop by your nearest fire station and
yes.
ask the fireman that very question.
That's a good tip.
Exactly. Or if you have a favorite nursery that has an association with an arborist, you might ask that question. Or you might call the Escambia County Extension Service. It seems everybody has the answer to that but me.
Right.
But I don't want to tell you wrong, obviously. So that's exactly what I would do. I would ask the fireman or the extension agents or your favorite arborist what limbs, what trees you should not put in the fireplace, because that's important. You just don't want any kind of fire hazard, and you want it to burn. You want it to burn right. So you need to do that.
Well, yeah, and you know, I have friends that they burn everything. They burn everything. Usually plastic, burn it.
Really?
Like 2x4s, burn it. And I won't, just because there are chemicals that are laced into certain things, and plastic I don't think you should burn.
No.
Let it get recycled. Recycle it and go and take care of it that way. But yeah, there are some people, they don't care. For me too, I don't know what you're breathing in. I think that's like can
exactly.
be a concern with some folks. And so I like that. And I just actually sent a text out. I have a family member who is an arborist, not here in Pensacola, but maybe they have a couple of little tips that
yeah,
they can
maybe,
give.
Maybe
so.
They can enlighten us on that. But that's a great question.
Yeah.
I'd like to know the answer to that.
I see and smell a lot of
yes.
fires
yes.
happening. And, you know, one thing that we do, so we have a fire pit in our backyard, and we make sure it's not windy and that there isn't a no-burn notice, right?
Right.
So one of the things we do is we take a walk with our wagon and we pick up sticks that are laying around in the streets or at the parks that nobody, who else is going to pick up except to play fetch with your dog?
Right.
And then we bring them home and we put them in our pile.
Well, that is cool. A lot of people nowadays, of course, have gas fireplaces.
Yes, they do.
Which are very nice.
It's nice. I don't think it's as fun. It's like, who's going to get this thing going?
I am.
Oh, my goodness.
I have a gas fireplace.
Somebody said burn it all.
And it's fun for me.
It is. I bet it's fun. Hey, on a day like this, if you want to be outside and you're taking care
you hit
of your plants.
Remote, you hit the remote control. You got a beautiful fire. Historically, I didn't like the looks of a gas fireplace.
Nowadays,
they look so real.
Can you roast chestnuts on a fireplace like that?
I wouldn't roast chestnuts over a gas fire. No, I don't think I would do that. But that's another great question. I'm writing all these down. When I write my book, I'll have a chapter on roasting
chestnuts
over a
gas fire.
Exactly.
I don't know if they made a song about that. We'll have to look. Okay, we got to take a quick break and regather our thoughts. Yes, somebody texted in, burn it all.
Burn
okay,
it all.
You
there
know
you
what?
Go.
So just, yes, burn it all in a safe way.
There you go.
Text in those questions still. We have about 15 minutes left. 850-437-1620. Listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620, 850-437-1620. Hey, there's a great article today in the PNJ. We love finding different things around town. And we were talking about, yes, the Christmas tree shortage. But if you go to the Pensacola News Journal, they've got all the lists of places and local places, let me tell you, came first, that you should go and get your Christmas tree ASAP. So if you're looking for it, go to the PNJ and find out. We were talking before about things you should not burn. And one of our friends said, don't burn oleander.
Oh, no question about it.
Okay.
Oleander, I always take it a step further and say, don't plant oleander.
It's yeah, we want to stay away from
very
that.
Very poisonous. I always worry about the Boy Scouts, you know, cooking marshmallows over a fire and taking an oleander limb and putting the marshmallows on it. That's scary.
Wow.
Because oleander, you know, if you have a pet or a youngster, you know, chew on the leaves or the limb, it's very poisonous. So that is great advice. I totally agree.
Yes. Okay. Let's stay away from that. And hey, we do have a call coming in, 850-437-1620. Pete from Gulf Breeze is on the line. What's your question this morning, Pete?
Morning, Pete.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing good. Yourself?
I'm doing like I'm told.
This time of year, yes, you're right, Pete. Take a number, buddy.
There you go. There you go. What's the best pre-emergence to apply right now?
Good question. I think atrazine is a pretty good one. There's one called Pre-M. That's good. Dimension is good. So yes, you need to go ahead and do that. I'm glad you brought that up, because if you use one of those three or you find another one, I think Ortho makes a pre-emergence. Couple things. One, your timing is perfect. The temperatures are right. It's the right time of year. You're going to take care of a lot of those winter weeds. And then, of course, you want to come back in February and do it again. There's no doubt about it. But, Pete, be so careful when you buy that pre-emergence that it is labeled for the grass that you've got. So many of our great Gulf Breeze listeners have St. Augustine grass. Some of those weed killers will tell you it may damage St. Augustine. Read that label like you're reading a novel and be sure you've got the right product. But like I say, atrazine, Pre-M, Dimension, those are all good ones. But there may be some more. But be sure the one you buy is labeled for the grass that you have. St. Augustine and Centipede are much more sensitive to weed control damage, just simply because they've got a wider leaf, and that can cause a problem. So in any event, your timing is good, and I'd go for it.
What if you have a mixture of St. Augustine and... My mind just went blank.
Could be zoysia.
Not zoysia.
Zoysia, centipede.
Centipede.
Bermuda.
Centipede.
Okay, centipede, yeah. So just quite frankly, if it will damage St. Augustine, it might damage centipede. So centipede doesn't have quite the wider blade that St. Augustine does. I would just be careful. Your label is going to tell you what you can do and what you can't do. Just be... aware that you need to check into that before you start spraying. But as I said, you're on the right track, Pete. I'd go ahead and get her done now.
All right, sir. I'll get my wife on this afternoon.
Pete, we always tell the truth on the Garden Line, and I have a funny feeling I think you may have just broken that rule. I'm not sure.
Pete,
that's
all
right.
You're a fun guy.
All Pete, right. I want you to call us again, okay?
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to you and your wife. That's amazing. 850-437-1620. Good morning to you. I see y'all just chiming in and saying good morning and happy Thanksgiving to you, too. You know what? I think this is a great time to ask you, Mike, before you share anything else before our next break, what is one thing you are extremely thankful for this Thanksgiving season?
Oh, I think you've just got to always look at good health. Mm-hmm. My goodness gracious, when you've got a lot of grandchildren and children and family and everybody is feeling well, and especially made it all through this pandemic, you've got to be very, very thankful for that. I mean, here, living in Pensacola with all, and you know, just like you, Jenna, you've got a lot of friends, a lot of acquaintances, and we're all very, very lucky. But our health has got to be number one on the list, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot that we can be thankful for.
No
question about
it.
When you look over the past couple of Thanksgivings and seasons that we've been in, yeah, I'd say our health too. And continue with your taking care of your health. And, you know, when you're outside, bundle up. I went for a little bit of a walk. And when you head south, it's not that bad. When you head north, it's a little brisk.
That's right.
So think about those things. Bundle up. It's better to layer and different things. So, yeah, we want to continue on in taking care of our health here. I wanted to also ask you if there are any good gifts when it came to like citrus trees for the holiday season.
That's a great question, and I think next week we'll talk a little bit about that, because there are a lot of citrus you can plant. A lot of people like a key lime. Mm-hmm. A lot of the mandarins are good. You can plant, my goodness, I'm trying to think, kumquats, that type of thing, all kind of citrus you can grow. And I've got a list, I don't have it with me, of our top five favorites.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great gift. Next week, I'll bring that, and we'll talk a little bit about that.
Let's kick off the Christmas season with that. Yeah. Give them a little teaser.
We also
like that.
Need to talk about other Christmas gifts, too.
Yes.
We did that last year. We did that here on the Garden Line, and it was kind of fun. Things that you can buy, not expensive, that the gardener in your life might enjoy as a stocking stuffer or as a Christmas gift. So we'll talk about that next week for sure.
Okay. All right. Let's take another quick break as we wrap things up. Squeeze in one last question. 850-437-1620.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum.
We're back on the Garden Line wrapping things up here. And, the tree of life. That's it. We're out of the tree.
Exactly. Real quick, I did want to add one citrus tree in case the texture is looking for things right now. Meyer lemon is a good one. Didn't even come to mind. That is one a lot of people plant. But if you're going to give a plant as a gift, next week we'll talk about it. But don't forget to give a nice camellia or sasanqua. That's a great one. And Skip and Buzz are going to be here in a couple of weeks to tell us how to do that.
Yeah, I love that idea. And there's so many great gift ideas, and I see people starting to text and call in. We're actually just about out of time here on the Garden Line, so we'd like you to hold off this week, and we'll get to your questions next week. But as we wrap up, so next week, we didn't even get to a lot of stuff we wanted to talk about. Mike, what are a couple of things we can look forward to next Tuesday?
Well, what we really wanted to talk about today, of course, didn't have time. We always run out of time, and that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
That's a great thing. How do you keep your Christmas tree fresh? How to keep it from losing needles, just like happens to you? What do you put in the water? How do you cut the tree? When do you cut the tree? How long can it stay out of water before you have to make another cut in the tree? All of that. Then we want to talk about poinsettia care, because there's some real hints on how to take care of your poinsettias, and go into some of the other plants like paper whites and calanchos and other plants that we can talk about during the holidays. So we've got a ton of things to talk about, but I do look forward to the second week in December when Skip and Buzz are going to be here to talk camellias. That'll be fun.
All things camellias, we have that to look forward to, and our Thanksgiving feast. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thanksgiving to you, Jenna, and to your family and all our listeners.
Yes.
I hope they know how much we appreciate it.
We absolutely do. Hey, stay tuned.
News, talk, traffic, and weather. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 WNRP Gulf Breeze.